We are at the top of Pei Bei's Amud Aleph, Gufa. Actually starting on today's daf today, as opposed to the last couple days. Gufa. We had said yesterday from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol makom she'amar Rabbi Yehuda imasai uvameh b'mishnah seinu. Anytime Rabbi Yehuda himself says, when does this, the thing we just said, apply? Or, in what situation are these, is this what we just said, you know, when are these applicable? So then the statement is not to disagree, but rather to explain, to clarify what was just said. So now, as you can probably guess, we're going to go on a little bit of a tangent to figure out if that's always the case. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eno Elo Lefarish Devar Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Emasai Lefarish Uvameh Lachlok. Rabbi Yochanan thinks that when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, Emasai, when, so that's coming to clarify, Uvameh, in what situation does it apply, that's coming to disagree. So Gemara says, wait a second, if Emasai Lefarishu, is the word Emasai, the word when, always coming to explain, to clarify, and not to disagree? V'hatanan, but don't we have a Mishnah? Where is Gil when you want him? Ve'eloin apsul. Here are the disqualified ones from giving testimony. Hamasachik bakuvia. Those people who play dice. Those gamblers. People who gamble. Right? They are pasul eidus. You cannot testify if you're someone who gambles. Umal veberibis. And you give out loans with interest. Umafrichionim. And you raise pigeons. Meaning that you set up, you know, some kind of competitions with them. V'sochre shvias, and people who sell shmita. In those situations, you would not be allowed to give testimony for anything. You're not the type of person that we can trust. For one reason or another, Gemara talks about it. And then comes Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai. Rabbi Yehuda says, when does such a statement apply? Bizman she'ein lo umnas elahi. When that's the person's only source of income. If he's a gambler and that's what he does for a living, so that's the problem. The problem is that he relies on these risky businesses, and that's why we can't trust him. Aval yesh lo umnas shelohi. If the person has another profession, the person has some other job, which is not to gamble, or is not to sell shemitah, or is not to give out loans with interest. So in those situations, hareza kasher, then the person's okay. So in this situation, is Rabbi Yehuda coming to disagree, or is he coming to clarify? Vitani alaba breisa, and the breisa explicitly says about that statement. Vachachamim omrim, and the chachamim say bein she'en lo umnos elahi ubein she'esh lo umnos shelohi. Whether or not that's the only profession, their only source of income, or whether or not that's not, maybe they have something else. Even the chachamim say always in those cases harei zeh pasul. In which case, what you find here is a situation where the chachamim say one thing, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and the way that he disagreed was by saying the word emasai. And neither Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi were of the opinion that the word emasai was an introduction to disagree. So how could it be? So the Gemara says, no, hahid Rabbi Yehuda amar Rabbi Tarfon hi. That's because it wasn't really Rabbi Yehuda who said that. That was really Rabbi Tarfon's statement. And Rabbi Yehuda is just the one that said, quoting from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that's just quoting from Rabbi Tarfon. Rashi says, "Brisa mishum Rabbi Tarfon he to Amar Smach lo kanya about Masis lo pelg Rabbi Yehuda at the Tanachama el mefarish to tame." Really, that Brisa is Rabbi Tarfon, and when Rabbi Yehuda says that, he's coming to explain. He's coming to explain the sheet of the Chachamim. Now, how exactly you understand has to do with the whole point behind why gambling is a problem of a smach lo kanya, meaning that if a person is trying to gamble, trying to win somebody's money, so when he says, you know, I'm willing to give up 10 bucks, he's not really willing to give it up, and therefore it's a problem to gamble because it's quasi-stealing. D'tanya, how do we know that asmachta lo kanya, meaning something which is not a full-fledged commitment to something, is not good enough? It's not a bona fide, you know, it's not a bona fide acquisition or trigger. D'tanya, the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, lo'olam ein echad mehem nazir. In a situation where people bet each other, Rashi says, "Shnaim shiyosh v'bro echad ba ve'amar echad mehen harini nazir shezen nazir." If a person said, a person passes by, and two guys are standing there, and one says to the other, "I'm going to be a nazir if that guy's a nazir," v'amar chaver harini nazir she'en zen nazir, and the other one says, "Well, I'm going to be a nazir if that guy's not a nazir," right? So something's got to give. So the question is, does either one of them actually become a nazir, or are they just bantering and betting? So the Gemara says, "La'olam ein echad mehem nazir, shlefisha ein nazirus el hafla," because when you become a nazir, you have to have a sort of a bona fide declaration. Rashi says, "Shehein nidro mefurash alavadai," that if you're going to make a vow, it has to be explicitly on something which is definitely true. And not in some kind of doubtful way about whether or not this guy is actually an Uzzer. Alma, therefore, we can understand from here, the person is not really committing, investing into the process of Nazir. They're really just, shooting the breeze. They're really just sort of bantering at each other. Hachanami, in this case also, when it comes to Masachet B'kubya, when it comes to gambling or raising competing doves or whatever, Kevan lo yada ikani lo kani lo gamar makne, right? Because you don't really know if the person's actually going to win the money or not, so therefore, it's not going to be a real commitment to giving up the money, and then it's going to be somewhat of a robbery when he gets it or when he doesn't get it, because there's no real commitment to give it up. Very interesting sugya in Sanhedrin. I think it's in Sanhedrin Chaf Dalet, but not for now. But interesting to note that this is how the Gemara usually looks at the phrase Amasai when it comes from Rabbi Yehuda. If the word Amasai is said exactly after someone else's shita, after Chachamim's shita, so then it's only clarification. And the only reason here where Rabbi Yehuda says Amasai is because he's actually clarifying the Chachamim, but in the Braisa, he's actually quoting Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. Hadronolach Chalon. We will turn to you. Okay, back to Shituf for Tzchumen, not for Shituf of Chatzer. New Perek, new chapter. Bas Nisan. Ketan Mishtatfin B'Tzchumen. How do you make an Erev which is for other people? Meaning not an Erev for the Chatzer, but an Erev for Tzchum. To extend your Shabbos boundaries. So Maniach Esachavetz V'Omer, you put down the barrel and you say, Harei Zel Kol B'nei Iri, this is for everyone in the city. L'chomi She'ilach Beis Ha'Evel, Ol Beis HaMish, to anyone who's going to the morning, the Shiva house, and anyone who's going to the wedding party. V'chol Shekiba Olavim Bod Yom, to anyone who accepts upon themselves the status of that, the significance of that error from before Shabbos, so that's Mutzer. Misha Tachshach, however, once it's already Shabbos, you can't then retroactively say that you can be part of the Erev. She'ein Ma'arv Misha Tachshach, because you can't make an Erev afterwards. Okay, so the Gemara is going to say, wait a second. Amar of Yosef, Ein Ma'arv and Eladvar Mitzvah, you're not allowed to. So Rav Yosef is going to make a statement that you're only allowed to make an Erev for which is a Devar Mitzvah, something which is significant, halachically significant. So Makmash Balan, what's the Chiddush? Tanilo, Kol Mishilech Le'Seva Le'Vesa Mishta. We already know the Mishnah tells us you can only use the Erev for the sake of going to a mourner or going to a wedding. So Mao Ditema, what would you think? Orcha Demelza Katani Kamash Malan. Maybe it's not necessarily teaching you specifically mitzvahs, but maybe you would think it's only specifically talking about these, that it's talking about any special situation. Maybe you would think that you could determine anything which is special. So Kamash Malan, no, it's only for mitzvah which is justified. So Gemara says, "V'chol shekibel alavim ba'odom shemat mina." Ein Brera, it sounds from here that you can't have Brera, right? Retroactive clarification. We talked about this a while back, that that if something happens on Shabbos to determine what your Erevos were before Shabbos, so that would be good enough. But here it's saying that you're not allowed to say only on Shabbos, that you're going to use the Erev that was set up from before Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Yesh Brera, if there was such a thing that you could have Brera, you could have retroactive determination. Tiglei Milson Lafrei Mivod Yom Havanichalei. If on Shabbos he determines that he's going to go to the Shiva house, so then it should have been okay that retroactively he was using that Erev, right? Maybe he needed to make the Erev from before Shabbos. The Erev was made before Shabbos. And the fact that on Shabbos he now thinks he wants to go to the Shiva house means that ultimately from before Shabbos he also wanted to. He hadn't yet decided it. So here clearly we hold that this Mishnah holds Ein Brera. You can't retroactively determine. So Gemara says, no, Amar Vashi, hodi uhu velo hodi uhu katani. The question is not whether or not there's a brera. The question is whether he knew about it beforehand. If he never even knew about it, so then if it comes out on Shabbos that he hears about the Erev, and now he decides he wants to use it, so that's not good enough. The only time that would be okay is if he heard about it from before Shabbos, and then he decided he was going to use it on Shabbos. Then you could use it. I think that's what it means. It's not considered brera if you never knew about it from before Shabbos. A child who is younger than 6 years old is going to be subsumed under whatever his mother is doing. So if his mother made an Erev for herself, so too the child can use that Erev. Katan shetzarech le'imo, a child which is dependent on his mother, yotzib Erev imo, can also use his mother's Erev. V'she'en tzarech imo, and a child who doesn't need his mother, ein yotzib Erev imo, does not go by the mother's Erev. Meaning this is a case where the mother made an Erev but had no specific intention to include her child. If the child, however, is dependent on his mother still, so then that doesn't make a difference, the child can still be included in it. Utanan, and the Mishnah tells us, Nami Gabi Sukha ki hai gab the country in Sarah Limbo Chai Basukha. A child who is not dependent on his mother is obligated to sit in a sukkah. This is obviously only midrabanan. Rashi says, mechan chinan le midrabanan. Interesting Rashi. Based on this week's parsha, we have the word chanichav about Avram Avinu taking his, the guys in his home. Interesting Rashi there talks about what it means to be mechanich, a child. So there you go, connection between the daf and the Gemara. So chayv a sukkah, that person would be chayv in that child would be chayv in sitting in the sukkah, midir abanan, meaning basically that he's higi l'chinuch. And the havinan ba, and we ask over there, I think this is the beginning of sukkah, ve'ezu katashin tzarech li'imo, what is the child who is not needing of his mother? Amrit be'rabi yadiko shenifne ve'en imo mekanachto. Any child who goes to the bathroom and doesn't need his mother to wipe him. Right, if that child is independent enough to wipe his own feces, so then he is good enough to be considered independent in regards to Erev and independent in regards to needing a sukkah. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Kol Shenerev Einu Kara Ima. This is an interesting one. Any child who goes to sleep and does not call out for his mother. I guess if the child needs something or is frightened or something like that. So then they're not dependent anymore on their mother. So Gemara says, wait a second, imatzaka daitzich, gedolim namikaru. Even older kids call out for their mother when they're sleeping. Okay, I don't know what that means, but even older kids will do such a thing. So ela ima kol shener mishnasa ve'enukari ima. Any child who wakes up at night and needs to continuously say mommy, 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 because they can't get through it, they can't settle themselves down. If they say it only one time, okay, so maybe you're still a teenager. Teenagers still call out for their mother sometimes, depending on the teenager. But if you're really, if you're a child, then you would call out for your mother incessantly until she comes. This actually happened to us last night, so I know what this is talking about. Either way, so the Gemara says, Vekama, and how much? So what's the age? What's the actual age? Give us a number. Kvar arba, kvar chamesh. If a person, it's a child, about 4 years old or 5 years old, so then that's the general time that you're thinking about for this time. But this is presumably against Rav Asi. Rav Asi had said six. So now we've got a problem. On to Amr Beis. Amr Rabbi Shua Bered Rav Idi Ki Kama Rav Asi. When Rav Asi said that, when Rav Asi said six for the Eruv, that was an decision concerning She'iriv Alav Aviv Latzafon V'imu Ladarom. That's a situation where the father had established the Eruv for the kid in the north, and the mother established the Eruv for the kid in the south. The parents weren't communicating. Then in that situation where you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, so then Rav Asi says that if the child's not yet 6 years old, so then he goes with his mother. But when it comes to a stam situation where just his mother made an Eruv, so then Rav Asi would agree that it's not necessarily the case that he'd be subsumed underneath his mother's Eruv. He would actually have to be included explicitly by the mother, or I guess maybe himself. I don't know exactly how that would work otherwise. Okay, so Meisave, we have another source which goes against this. Katan Shesarach Le'ima Yotzev Eruv Imo Ad Ben Sheish. That we have a situation where it says the Eruv, the child goes with the Eruv of his mother until six. That implies that it doesn't matter if there's somebody else. That implies that you do it until six. Tiyufta Rav Yeshua Bar of Idi Tiyufta. This is saying that, this is saying until six. Once they're six, so then it's no good. But this would presumably go against Rav Yeshua Bar Rav Idi, who said that a six-year-old would still go out with his mother's Eruv. The six-year-old would still go out with his mother's Eruv. Rav Yeshua Bar Rav Idi was the one that just said, right? We just explained. What's the situation? Rashi says, "Halekel memor sh'arav alav zelakan v'zelakan deha ad katani demashma ben shana uben shtayim v'shalosh ad ben sheish yotze be'erev imo v'chihechi de ben shana v'ben shtayim below zikoy erev kamar ben dal ben hey nami below erev kamar." Well, I don't know why Rashi says it like this. V'chi nami amina ad v'lo ad v'chlal havia tiyufta de Rabbi Yeshua tarts ben hey tarchus akos lo tiyufta. Right, Rabbi Yeshua Bar Rav Idi was just the one that said that you have to actually explicitly say the child, explicitly include the child, unless it's one of these situations where it's in both directions and they have to sort of choose one. If, however, it was, well, those were also explicit in both directions. If, however, it was Stam, so then it wouldn't be the case that the child would go when they're 6 years old. The child would have to be explicitly made. To be included. And here it sounds like it's still going to be good for the child even until 6 years old. So the Rabbi Yeshua Bar of Idi is rejected. So Leman Tavitav to Rav Asi, why don't we also say that this is a rejection of Rav Asi? Rav Asi was the one that said six, which means that up to six, this Mishnah implies that it's up to six and not six itself. Meaning that Rav Asi would potentially agree that it is theoretically possible for the child to be included until he's 6 years old. So Amar Lo Chal Rav Asi Ad V'Ad Bechlal. That it only includes up to five, but not actually six. So now the Gemara says no. Rav Asi would say that it includes six also when it says Ad Ben Sheish. Not 100% sure I got both of those down, but you get the point that Rav Yeshua Bar Rav Idi, I think, would require it to be one of those quasi-situations where Rav Asi would presumably say even a regular situation could be six. I don't know. Child if they're dependent on their mother, is included in the Eruv, but if they're not dependent on their mother, it's not included. What that age is presumably subjective. So, Lama Tahavi Tziufta de Rabbi Yana Rish Lakish. Why isn't it a refutation of Rabbi Yana Rish Lakish? Rabbi Yana Rish Lakish were the ones that said that age 4 or 5, and this one says until 6. So, Lokash Hadi Isayavu Abimasa, Hadla Isayavu Abimasa. It depends if the father's around, if the father's in town, so then the child might want to go with the father. And therefore is not needed. So the mother is not needed when he's 5 years old, or even 6 years old. But if the father's not in town, so then the child would need his mother more. Okay. Tana Rabbanan Ma'ariv Adam Ayde Benobi Talk Tana Ma'ayde Avda Vashivchos Akanana Ben Datan Ben Shlo Datan. When I read this, I thought this was confusing because apparently Rashi tells us that this is a different type of Al Yedei. Here Al Yedei means that he makes the Eruv for them Bishvilan, not through them. Right, it's not that the child is making the Eruv for them, but rather that the father is making the Eruv for the child. So the father is allowed to make it for the child, the children who are young, and for the servant and the maidservant that are not Jewish, even if they don't know about it. According to this braisa, at least they have to actually be aware of what's going on. They have to actually know that the father is making an Erev Tchumen for them. Presumably this is still referring to an Erev Tchumen. Tani Idach, however, there's another verse that says, Lo Arev Adam Alidei Ben Yehovi Yubi Tzakdon V'alidei Avdav Shechazo Ha'ivrim V'lo Alidei Ishto V'el Midatan. Same thing, basically. Avam Arev Lo Alidei Avdav Shechazo Ha'knanim V'alidei Ben Yehovi Tzakdonim V'el Midatam V'shelo Midatam Mimnei Shiyadim Kiyadel. Right, this is basically, I don't think this is a rejection of what they said thus far, but the whole point is that Mibnei Sheyadan Ki Yadav, he is in control of their assets, and therefore he can dictate what is going to be applicable to their life, to their domains. V'chulan she'irvu v'irvu v'irv aleim rabban, and all of those situations is when they had an error for themselves, and they're also their master made an error for them. Yotzin Mishel Rabban. So then they are assumed to be included in their rebbe's, their master's erev chutz ben aisha, except for a woman, because a woman could reject it and say she does not want to be part of the erev. She can take it in her own direction. Isha maishna, why would a woman be different? Amaraba isha v'chol didamila. It's not really a woman, it's anyone who's independent. That they could actually make their own decisions. So Amar Mar Chutz Ben Aisha Menei Shechol Imchos Tama Demachi Hastama Nafka B'Davala. It's only a case that the woman wouldn't be included in her husband's Erev if she actually explicitly objects. But if she doesn't say anything, so then it's assumed that she's going with her husband. Hakatani Reisha Elami Da'atam. But wait a second, the first part said it's only if she agrees. So my love to Amri In, she has to explicitly say yes. Meaning that it's not only a situation where she has to explicitly disagree, but it's a situation where she has to explicitly agree. So when it says lo my elami datam to ishtiku, right, shtika kohoda, as we say, if she's silent, that means she's agreeing. Lafukehechad amri lo, that the Bryce is only teaching us that when she says no, that's when it undoes it. But if she's just saying nothing, so then it says if she's agreeing. So ha, wait a second. The kulan she'irvu ve'irvu aleinu rabban yotzim b'shal rabban mustamahu uketani chutz ben aisha del nafki. Over there, it sounds like a default that they always go according to their rabban, the master of some kind, except for the woman. That sounds like the default is that they go, except the woman whose default is that she doesn't go with the heir. So amarava kevan she'irvu ein l'chamicha gadol mizeh. Once she makes her own eruv, meaning that situation where it's the husband and they themselves make their own Erev, is not a Stam case. Because when she makes her own Erev, that's essentially explicitly saying, I don't want to be part of my husband's Erev. She might not have said any words, but if she actually made another Erev, so then it's obviously a case where she is objecting. Okay, new Mishnah. That was an easy one. Or sort of a straightforward one. Kamahu shiro. How big does the actual Erev have to be for the sake of Tchum? Mazon shtei surus kol achav echav. I feel like we've talked about this before, but either way, you have to have enough food for two meals for each person. Mizono lachol v'lo l'shabbos. Did Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda omer l'shabbos v'lo lachol v'zeh v'zeh miskaven l'hakel. Both of them are trying to be lenient. The question is, which one is less food? Is your weekday meal less food, or is your Shabbos meal less food? Maybe your weekday meal is more food because Shabbos you have three meals, so you're going to have less food. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda thinks, no, Shabbos is a more lavish meal. You have sweets on Shabbos, and therefore it's going to make more room. You're going to actually add more food to your Shabbos meal. And therefore, sorry, I got it mixed up. Therefore, that's Rabbi Meir's sheet. Rabbi Meir's of the opinion that we take the weekday meal because the Shabbos meal is bigger. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion, no, the Shabbos meals are smaller because you have three of them, and therefore we base it on a Shabbos meal, but both of them are trying to make the lesser amount for the tchum. Rabbi Yochanan broke Omar mikikar bepunja mim arba sim besela. He says that the loaf which is bought with a punjan, that's how big it is, which is four sa' of wheat for a sela. Right, it's just giving you sort of a proportion. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shtei Yados Kikar Mishalosh Akav. It's two of three parts of a loaf, when three loaves are prepared from a kav of wheat. In other words, says the Safari over here, the measure is 2/3 of a loaf, the size of 1/3 of a kav. I don't really care for figuring out all the measurements right now. Chetzye Labai Samenuga. When it comes to a loaf of bread, the Mishnah says that it's half of this amount is what's considered chayev, or is considered tamei for a house with saras, v'chatzi chatzel b'solas agvia, and half of the half, which is a quarter, which would make a person's body tamei if they touch the food. So Gemara says, "V'kam mazon shteitzus." How much is two meals? Amr Rav Yehuda Marav, tarti rifta akiryasa. It's two meals is the same as two farmers' loaves of bread. They would bring food out into the field with them when they would go and work all day. So those are a little bit bigger, presumably. Rav Ada Bar Hava Amar tarti rifta nar papayasa. The Papa River. They had a certain type of bread that they would use. Okay. Amr Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Bread Rava, Avuch Kaman Svirlei, who is your father hold like? Right? Asking, what does Rava say? So Rabbi Meir Svirlei, he passes like Rabbi Meir, the Shabbos meals are bigger, so you go back to the weekday meal. Ananamik Rabbi Meir Svirlei, Deik Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha Hada Amr Inshi. If we pass like Rabbi Yehuda and said that the Shabbos meals were less, so then it wouldn't work with the following statement that people always say, which is Ravcha Libsima Shchiach. There is always room for sweets. What a great line. Always room for dessert. All right? And therefore, the Shabbos meal is presumably bigger, because you can just always add dessert. Okay, so and therefore the Shabbos meal would include dessert because it's special for Shabbos, and therefore the weekday meal is lesser. Okay, sorry about that. Rabbi Yochanan. People still there? Sorry. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Tana.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer Tana. Ukrovim divrei liyos shavim. It's and their opinions are very close to each other. Meaning the statements of Rabbi Shimon and the statements of Rabbi Shimon and who was the other opinion? Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So he says that the measurements are close to each other. So mi dami, Rabbi Yochanan arba sudos lakaba, Rabbi Shimon tesha sudos lakaba. Rabbi Yochanan thinks that it's four meals worth to the kav. And Rabbi Shimon thinks that it's nine meals worth to the kav. Okay, again, the measurements, we'll just take the measurements at service value. That Rabbi Yochanan thinks that it's a smaller amount. Rabbi Shimon thinks it's a bigger amount. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisset, Seimen Shlish Lachenveni. No, really, a third of them is for the markup of the store owner. Vakas Lamar Tisha. So then it's in 9 verses of 6. So El Ki'id after Rav Chista de Amar Tse Mehene Mechza L'Chanvini. Rather, half of it goes to the Chanvini. V'akasi L'mar Teshu L'mar Tamni. If you do the math, so then it's 9 verses 8. Still not the same thing. Hainu T'gamar Krovin Devren Lios Shavin. That's what he means when he says they're close to being the same. 9 verses 8. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Either way, Kashtu Rav Chista Ad Rav Chista. Rav Chista just said it's either half or it's a third that's being left out. So lo kasha had the kayav ba bais tv had the lo yav ba bais tv. This is when the when they give to the pay wood to the store owner, they also give the wood for baking the bread, and this is when they're not, and therefore Rav Chisda has a different explanation based on how much the person gave to the store owner is how much the bread is going to cost them. And that's why there's different statements from Rav Chisda. Is it a third off that goes to the Chanvini, or is it half off that goes to the Chanvini? Either way, interesting measurements that I probably would have to figure out for a while to understand them. Shkayach! We'll continue to... I guess we'll record tomorrow. And then hopefully next week we'll start with our Moshe Shabbos learning once we change the clocks. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.
All right, thank you. Good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome. Thank you.